What does effective leadership look like in a time of crisis? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Well, we start here in Europe, where both the EU and Britain have pledged to work together to resolve a months-long dispute over access to coronavirus vaccines. In a joint statement, the two sides say they'll seek a win-win deal to boost supplies on both sides of the English Channel. The BBC's Katja Adler has more from Brussels.
EU politicians are under increasing public pressure. Many voters blame their government and Brussels for a vaccine rollout that lags far behind the UK. The European Commission blames pharmaceutical companies, primarily AstraZeneca, for not delivering jabs promised to the EU. But leaders are divided over proposals for new restrictions on vaccine exports out of the bloc to boost domestic supply. Some fear that could disrupt global supply chains needed to manufacture vaccines and damage already strained relations with the UK after Brexit.
That's Katja Adler reporting there from Brussels. Even as the two sides work toward more cooperation, one EU diplomat has told the BBC progress is slow, cumbersome and difficult. Today, EU leaders will hold virtual talks about how they'll boost COVID vaccine supplies as a third wave of the pandemic gathers momentum across the continent. The European Commission, headed by Ursula von der Leyen, wants nations to back plans to tighten vaccine exports to keep more supplies within the bloc. Much of the blame for the situation in Europe has been pinned on vaccine manufacturers who have been accused of sometimes not meeting agreed production and delivery timelines. But Dr. Ingeborg Tamell, an international politics professor at Germany's Osnabrück University, says EU leaders should take some accountability for slow crisis management.
At the stage when von der Leyen negotiated with vaccine producers about delivering vaccines to the EU, the vaccine was not even on the market. It was not yet finally developed. So she had to negotiate in a situation where things were not very clear. But member states in the European Council, they said it's too expensive. The Eastern European states, they didn't want to buy the vaccine so expensive. So von der Leyen negotiated again, and she succeeded in reducing the price.
The EU was much slower than other nations, for example, the UK, in approving and placing orders for COVID-19 vaccines. Is this problem less Ursula von der Leyen's leadership and more that there's just too much bureaucracy inside the European Union, the way that it operates and the way things need to be approved by all 27 nations?
I think the decision-making process in the European Council did take too long. She is in the position as head of the Commission to propose how to proceed in the European Union, and the decisions are taken by the European Council, that is the prime ministers or heads of government of the member states.
Now, as head of the European Commission, what can Ms. von der Leyen do to get the European procurement and rollout back on track? Because as we've been talking about, there are worries that there aren't enough vaccines to go around. There's now more skepticism around certain vaccines like AstraZeneca, which the rollout was paused for about a week. So what can she do as leader of this organization effectively to sort of rally everyone together?
For the meeting today, there is a proposal to be a little bit more strict on exports of vaccines from the European Union. They threaten they could do it, and they sharpen a little bit the rules. That is one step. And the other step where von der Leyen is already working on is to negotiate again and again and again with these firms to deliver more vaccines. And there are also proposals on the table to increase production of the vaccines.
Dr. Ingeborg Tamell, Professor of International Politics, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to the interview.
In Egypt's Suez Canal, tugboats are continuing efforts today to dislodge a more than 1,300-foot cargo ship that's still blocking the waterway, crucial to global trade. Ships traveling the canal are backed up in both directions. Salvage experts hope morning tide could help lift the ship so they can tow it to deeper water, but they warn the operation could take several weeks. That situation had boosted oil prices yesterday as investors assessed potential impact to global crude supply, but checking the numbers now, global oil prices are down. between 1.8% and 2.1%. Stock benchmarks across Europe are slightly lower, meanwhile. Shares of fast fashion retailer H&M are down 2.2% in Sweden, while Nike shares are falling about 3.5% ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. That's as those retail giants face a backlash in China, where boycotts have been called, celebrities have cut ties, and e-commerce platforms have dropped products. The moves come after the companies expressed concern about cotton production in China's Xinjiang province. From Shanghai, the BBC's Robin Brandt has more on that.
H&M is in multiple locations here in China for now. Its proclamation months ago that it doesn't use Xinjiang cotton in its supply chain is what has riled China. The Swedish clothes giant was reacting after claims that forced labour was being used to harvest cotton in that part of the country. But calling out China on what it regards as a core domestic issue is something Beijing just doesn't like. And now, all of a sudden, just days after coordinated sanctions were imposed by the US, UK and others, celebrity endorsers here have bailed and an online campaign is calling on nationalistic shoppers to boycott H&M. Nike has also been mentioned.
That's Robin Brandt reporting there from Shanghai. Finally, a digital artwork created by a humanoid robot named Sophia has sold at auction for $688,000. The work is a 12-second video showing the robot producing a digital painting in collaboration with Italian artist Andrea Bonacito. The sale is the latest sign of a boom in the market for NFTs, or non-fungible tokens. Those are unique digital pieces of art saved on blockchain ledgers, which allow anyone to verify their authenticity. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.